Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you would like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite you to call now. 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open. We want to hear from you. Again, that's 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking hope this month, and hope is really tied to the person and work of Jesus Christ. But when it really enters into a person's soul, it really becomes this powerful motivation for change, for a new way of thinking, for all sorts of things. We see that in the book of Colossians. Paul writes, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints." That's quite a commendation that Paul is giving to these believers. He's commending them for their faith and love, but then he's going to show us where this faith and love come from. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. So where did this faith and love come from as far as the Colossians were concerned? It came from the hope that was stored up for them in the gospel. We as people, first and foremost, need hope. If we are without hope in this world, we need that first and foremost. And that's what the gospel delivers. It delivers us a message of hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the message. That's what we're all longing for. That's what we're looking for. I guarantee you there are people today listening that are longing for some hope. And I hope this gospel message will strike that note of hope in their hearts, because in Christ there is always hope. No matter how dark it seems, no matter how bleak it seems, no matter how impossible your situation seems, in Jesus, there is always hope.
Absolutely. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. We want to hear from you. Calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock at 844-322-2742. That's the number that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Nicole, listening to us in Stratford, Connecticut on WMCA. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
I was calling in today because I guess I've been going through a hard time. I'm not around any other Christians really, because I just got saved a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago. And when I first got saved, it was like the Lord took away from me the urge to smoke cigarettes or to drink. And so I haven't, like, completely took it away. Like, I just one day just stopped. And since then, about a couple of months ago, for some reason, I don't even know why, but I just ended up smoking again. And now I feel like, and I just feel like, you know, like, how could I have gone back after he already, like, he took it away, I wasn't doing it, and now I started doing it again. So I feel really, I guess, guilty about that. And I want to stop, and I don't know where, like, I went wrong in my walk.
Well, Nicole, let me ask you something. Was there a circumstance that happened about the same time, kind of a negative circumstance, a woe is me type of thing?
I guess, you know what, as soon as you said that, I just thought of something. I had been going to church on my own, and I found, like, a church home. And I think maybe this had a lot to do with it, because my husband, finally, he started wanting to go to church, but he didn't like the church I was going to. So we started going to a church that he wanted to go to. And ever since then, I feel like things have gone, in an opposite direction for me. And I don't know if it's something, like, that I'm supposed to find out about myself, or, if, like, I don't know.
Well, Nicole, here's what happens, and this happens to all of us. This isn't unique to you, but it happens to all of us. So we grow up We all go through trials and tribulations in life. We have conflicts. We have adverse circumstances. And we develop ways to cope with those various adverse circumstances in life. Sometimes it's drinking, sometimes it's smoking, sometimes it's binge shopping, sometimes there's all kinds of things that we do to help us get through those situations. And we become creatures of habit, that every time an adverse circumstance comes about, we rely heavily on those things that have got us through in the past, or we thought got us through in the past. And so, Nicole, I think what you're experiencing, you smoked, you drank, those things were comfortable to you before you came to know Christ. Those things disappeared from your life for a short period of time. And then when things maybe got a little more difficult, your natural response was to go back to what was comfortable to you. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes a lot of sense, okay. Yeah.
And we're all like that. And so we just have to recognize that's part of the weakness of this flesh that we're housed in. So your flesh got used to drink, to alcohol, and your flesh got used to cigarette smoke. And it's always going to want those things. That's just the nature of the flesh. But that's not you. That's not who you are. You are Nicole, a new creation in Christ, a child of God, in whom Christ lives. That's who you are as a child of God. That's a pretty good identity, isn't it?
It is, and that's, I think, why I feel so guilty, because it's like I do something that I don't want to do, and I'm still doing it, and then I'm like, you know, just asking for forgiveness and then, like, wanting to stop, but then doing it again. So, yeah.
Well, the issue, Nicole, and this is what I want to help you with, is that you have Jesus living inside of you. And so with Jesus living inside of you, when times get a little tough, when times get a little tense, you don't have to fall back on what was comfortable for you in the past. You have Jesus. He's right there with you, and he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And let me read you a couple of passages. Romans 7, we're going to read a couple of verses out of Romans 7, and then we're going to jump into Romans 8, okay? So here's what Paul said in Romans 7. I do not understand what I do. It's kind of where you are, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no earthly idea why I wanted to go back to smoking. It doesn't make sense logically. It doesn't make sense from a health standpoint. There's nothing logical about that decision. And yet you chose to do it, and you just raise your hands up in the air and say, I have no earthly idea. I don't understand this. And then Paul goes on to say, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. So what's the source of those desires to go back to smoking and drinking? It's a three-letter word called sin. Okay?
Right.
I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. So that's the dilemma. That's the problem. What was Paul's solution? He said, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And his answer was this, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So who's going to rescue you from this? Jesus. So you should put your eyes fully on him. A lot of times when you go back to an old sinful habit, you try to clean up that sinful habit before you will ever look to Jesus again. And what Paul is saying, go ahead and look to Jesus and let him clean it up for you.
Does right.
That make sense? Now, here's another passage that I want to share with you. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So you're feeling guilty about this. Does Jesus condemn you for those choices? What did that verse just say?
No, he's not condemning me. He's working in me.
Absolutely. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you thought God was mad at you and was condemning you and was judging you, would you turn to him for help?
No.
No, you would run from him. That's what fear causes us to do. It causes us to run away from God. Why? Because we're afraid he's going to punish us. Afraid he's going to take us behind the woodshed. Afraid he's going to do something to us to punish us. But that's not of God. Why? Because God does not condemn those who are in Christ. So you've come to know Christ. You are in Christ. You're a child of God. Christ lives in you. Therefore, there is no condemnation for you, Nicole. That's good news.
Yes.
That's really good news. And the law of the Spirit of life is going to work through you in this situation. So where's your hope? Is it in you trying to overcome those habits, or is it in Jesus?
It's in Jesus, definitely, because I know that I can't, because I can't do it on my own. Like, I just need him. Like, I should have never went back. So I just got to keep praying.
But you did. But you did, and you can't erase that, can you?
Right.
You can't change what you did. All you can say is, Lord, this is what I did, but thank you for what Jesus did.
Right.
Because your choice to go back to smoke didn't change the fact that Jesus died to take away your sins, did it?
No, not at all.
It didn't change the fact that he was raised from the dead, did it?
Nope.
It didn't change the fact that he's come to live inside of you, did it?
No.
No. So wouldn't you rather focus on what Christ has accomplished for you than a failure on your part?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's do that. And
thank you. That made a lot of sense. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, Nicole, just keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what the author of Hebrews said. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And
yes, I will.
You know, we want to look at, the Christian life as a straight line. We get saved at point A, and we want to go directly to point B. But that's not how that path really works out in reality. It's curving, and sometimes it looks like it's going backwards. Other times it really looks like you're speeding ahead quickly toward the goal, and then you hit another turn and all of that sort of thing. But in all of that, God is still moving you down his path, and he is conforming.
It's just about keeping faith in him.
He's conforming you to his image. And he's committed to do that. And just trust him to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does. It makes a lot of sense. And okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Here's what I want to do. I've got a book called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We talk a lot about how the Christian life is really supposed to work. And I want to send you a copy of that. I want you to read it. And then once you do, will you call us back?
Yes.
Okay, you hang on the line, Nicole, and we will get a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace to you as quickly as possible, and just keep your eyes on Jesus, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You hang on.
I think it's very good that Basic Gospel is on the air for Nicole and many who call with issues that need to be addressed and are eating them alive sometimes. And I would just almost also like to say that that is a wonderful resource, Bob, that you're sending. Of course, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. There's a website called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, where you can go and order your copy. If you don't yet have one, you can order a single copy or multiple copies. And we encourage you to do that because it is such a rich, rich resource to aid you toward a better understanding of who you are, who you've become in the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that he has provided for you in that. SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com, that's where you need to go. And right now, you need to go to the phone. Give us a call. If you have something you'd like to discuss, a Bible question, give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Yeah, I love that Nicole was brave enough to share that.
Yeah.
Because there are a bunch of people out there listening to us right now who are fighting that same battle.
Mm-hmm.
I've messed up. Oh, my goodness, God's not going to like me anymore. Oh, I'm so sorry, Lord. The very last thing God is going to do is reject you. The very last thing Satan wants you to believe is that God is never going to reject you. So Satan is the one who's bringing that accusation, yeah, the condemnation, the guilt, all of that shame. Go to Jesus.
Yes,
that's a great
call.
Yes,
indeed. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. You know, we go through different emotional states. You know,
yeah,
we look at life and we have incredible expectations. Things are going to be awesome. And then reality hits us. It just,
yeah,
slaps us right up across the face. Disappointment sets in. We get fearful that, you know, life isn't going to work out the way I hoped it would work out. Then we get angry about that. And if we live in that anger for a long enough period of time, we get down into self-pity.
Yes.
And we start saying, woe is me. And that's when all of those habits of the past really start resurfacing.
Uh-huh.
And they really start tugging at those heartstrings. It's like, oh, yeah, I found comfort. I found a sense of pain relief through this or,
yeah,
through that. And we start longing for those things again. But it's in that seedbed of self-pity, mm-hmm, that we become vulnerable to those old habits, those old sinful habits. And so we have to come to the point and say, there's nothing that I need to be self-pitied over. I have Jesus.
Yes.
He took away my sins, and I'm going to thank him right here, right today. He truly is my hope.
Absolutely. Well, this past week, we were very adamant about supporting the ministry during this month of January and getting the tone set for the rest of the year. I asked you if you would go to your phone and call and make a donation. I asked you if you might be able to go to your computer and visit basicgospel.net and click donate on any page, or if you could get out your checkbook and mail a check to Basic Gospel for support. We would like to iterate that fact that we really would like to see January set the tone for the rest of the year because, well, we want to be here next year and the year after that and the year after that. So we need your ongoing support. We really, really covet your support, if I can use that word.
Yes,
in that particular
vernacular. Right.
So go give the operator a call if you can help us. Will you go to your phone right now, 844-412-2742? Again, that number, 844-412-2742, or you can visit the website, basicgospel.net, click donate on any page, and make your most generous gift if you can, or you can drop a check in the mail to Basic Gospel. Our address is 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, that's in Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, that's Basic Gospel, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Annie listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Annie.
Hi, I'm here.
Well, welcome to the broadcast. What's on your
Thank
mind
you
today?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. My question to you is, well, I was away on vacation. Yesterday, my kids decided to go to church, and it was a normal service, and the pastor wanted to make an announcement. And no one was expecting this. He basically read from a paper, and he said that he was resigning as of today because it's too overwhelming. And everyone's really upset. You know, we just don't know what to do. And I'm just basically seeing that as a mother abandoning her children. You know, he's abandoning the flock. And he's also planning to start a new church in the same city. So it's not like he's going to move out of state. We don't know anything else, but I'm just asking if there's anything biblically that I can bring up to him and to the congregation that wouldn't put him in a bad position, but that would make things clearer for us, because we're all very hurt right now, and we're all alone. We have no pastor right now.
Well, Annie, the first thing that I would say to you is simply this, is that, even though your pastor has resigned, you haven't lost your leader, because Jesus is the head of the church, isn't he?
Yes.
And so he knew all about this, even though it was a total surprise to you, to the congregation. It was not a surprise to Jesus. So he isn't shocked by this. He knows what's going on in that pastor's heart and in that pastor's situation, and maybe he's working some things there in his life that needs to be worked. We don't know. But one thing, you rest on the fact that you have not lost your leader. The church has lost a pastor, but the leader is still in place, and his name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus works through a body, not just one individual called the pastor, but through a body of believers. And so I think it's important for the congregation there to really draw together, come close together and say, seek the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have us as a body of believers in Brooklyn, New York, do about this? We know that you can still comfort us, that you can still counsel us, that you can still lead us and shepherd us as a body together. So recognize that there's that relationship. Jesus the head, you as the body. And let that take precedence and preeminence in this situation, okay?
Okay. Very quickly, I this morning I said, God, please give me a clear answer. I don't want to be judgmental, but it's pretty easy to fall into that. As I was reading a devotion, it was talking about pruning. And, you know, I mean, that is a possibility that God is doing that in our church. But I guess I shouldn't even have to bring it up, I guess, because of what you just said, and it makes sense, just to trust in Jesus and go to him for answers. I appreciate that.
Well, you are so welcome, and I would warn against trying to apply everything that you read and try to fit it into this situation. Could it be God pruning? Could it be this? Could it be that? That's just kind of speculation, isn't it?
We
don't know. And if God wants you to know what's really going on with that particular person, that will happen. And maybe, you know, you can come to a point and really hear his heart and find out what was really going on or what is really going on in his life. But until that happens, just leave it be. Just let that rest. Put your eyes on Christ.
Thank you. God bless you.
You're welcome, Annie. Thanks for your call. God bless you as well. Well, let's quickly go to East Park. We've got about 45 seconds. Hi, Luana. How are you doing?
Hey, how are you? I was in reference to women preaching in the church, and I was finding it very difficult to find a ministry where women don't preach in the church, and I was hoping for a prayer that God would lead me to a ministry that abides according to the scriptures.
Well, he will answer your prayer, and I think we need to realize that Paul didn't prohibit women preaching. He just said, I don't want women to have authority. And that word authority really is not like authority as we would know it, a boss or something like that, but somebody that dominates, somebody that tries to ram heretical doctrine down people's throats. And that was happening at that church. And that's why Paul wrote. And that word authority is the only time it's used in the New Testament. Hope that helps a little bit. We're out of time, but you keep seeking the Lord and trust him. He will lead you to the right place, okay? Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Luana. Great to hear from you and all of those of you who called today and any day to be a part of this broadcast we call Basic Gospel. We're glad to be here for you. Well, that's our time for today. Back tomorrow for Bob and Richard, the ministry team. Bob Davis saying God bless you, and indeed, we will see you then. Bye-bye.